VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. It's going to be a news roundup day, and just a little point of trivia here today, but one of great significance. Today, May 15th of 2020, marks the 59th anniversary day of the first broadcast coming from what we now know as VCY America. It started out with just a half-hour a day broadcast, but it all began on this date, May 15th, 1961. Well, as we get into our news roundup today, we're going to cover a lot of issues that are going on. And again, there is a lot that's dealing with the coronavirus because that has been front and center in states here across this nation as to some of the matters going on. And we'll keep you informed on a number of issues. But there's also been a lot going on as it relates to the Flynn investigation. And Lord willing, on Monday, Robert Romano from Americans for Limited Government will be joining us to go much more in depth, but not to ignore the issue today. Here we have from DailyWire.com, former Obama officials and Schiff appeared to know that there is little or no evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 election. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, quote, "I never saw any direct empirical evidence." Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power saying, "I am not in possession and I didn't read or absorb information." Former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, "I don't recall any intelligence or evidence to that effect." Former Deputy National Secretary Advisor Ben Rhodes saying, "I did not see the specific evidence." Despite the testimonies contained in the 53 transcripts, Schiff repeatedly promoted that he had direct evidence that it happened. Donald Trump Jr. told the Daily Wire, "Sounds like it was 53 up, 53 down." None of the former Obama administrative people were able to testify that they had seen evidence of collusion. From townhall.com, former Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley took to the Senate floor this week demanding more information about the previous administration's targeting General Michael Flynn. January 4th, 2017, the FBI wrote a closing memorandum on Flynn, who was codenamed Crossfire Razor by the FBI, and said that the intelligence community could find no derogatory information on him, Grassley said. Very interesting. He's basically saying it's time we ask, what did Obama and Biden know, and when did they know it? From CNSNews.com, he said, first of all, he was entrapped, Grassley told Fox News' Brett Baer. Entrapment is unconstitutional. It's a violation of your due process. Grassley said, I think there's more shoes to drop, and I think there will be prosecutions. And again, that is scheduled to be our topic, Lord willing, this coming Monday on Crosstalk. Going to WesternJournal.com, the president of Mexico would like to have a word with America about a scandal from our past, Operation Fast and Furious. Do you remember it? Reuters reported Monday that Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador was going to send a diplomatic note to Washington regarding the Obama-era operation, which ran from 2009 to 2011. In a bumbling attempt to trace the path of illegally trafficking guns to drug cartels, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives authorized gun sellers to allow straw buyers to make purchases for the purpose of tracking the firearms. Well, the operation became public when two of the guns were found near where Border Patrol agents Brian Terry was murdered in 2010. President Obama decided he did not want Congress to look into the scandal. The Mexican president said, how could this be? A government that invades in this way, that flagrantly violates sovereignty, international laws? What seems serious to me is that a violation of our sovereignty was carried out, a secret operation, and that Mexicans were killed with these weapons, the Mexican president said. There is still time for the U.S. to apologize. Going to WND.com, Dr. Robert Redfield, director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, on the hot seat. The White House coronavirus advisor, Dr. Deborah Birx, has challenged the CDC's count of coronavirus cases and deaths, according to the Washington Post. At a meeting, Birx and others expressed frustration with the CDC's system for tracking virus data, which they feared was inflating the mortality rate and cause and the case count by as much as 25%. Two sources allege that Birx said, "There is nothing from the CDC that I can trust." WND.com reporting field hospitals set up across the United States to help medical providers cope with the flood of coronavirus patients cost an estimated $660 million. But most of them are being dismantled without seeing a single patient, reports NPR. For example, a 1,038-bed hospital in Stony Brook, New York, contracted for more than $155 million, saw no patients. In Old Westbury, New York, $118 million was contracted for a 1,022-bed hospital. Again, no patients. One at the Colorado Convention Center in Denver provided 2,000 beds, cost of $34 million, saw zero patients, and the list goes on and on and on. The only significant operation with any kind of a load was an $11 million center in New York, which treated 1,095 patients. But most of the field hospitals in $660 million project treated zero coronavirus patients. Newsmax.com reporting President Trump's crash program to bolster domestic production of ventilators has generated such a domestic surplus in mere weeks that the U.S. is now offering thousands of the life-saving machines to nations abroad as part of its global humanitarian relief effort. Administrative sources now project the number of U.S.-manufactured ventilators will surpass 100,000 by July. There also was another 98,000 ventilators lacking full capacity, or capability, that is, that could be pressed into service as needed. The president has been on the phone with some 30 other world leaders offering to ship ventilators to them. The administrator already has pledged to contribute over 14,000 ventilators to countries in need. Western Journal reporting that the results of a newly released medical survey indicate New York State's COVID-19 outbreak may defy expectations. According to the data, roughly 66% of hospitalized coronavirus patients were admitted from the safety of their own homes. That statistic did not include the 16% of hospitalizations where patients were admitted from a nursing home. 66% of the people were at home, which is shocking to us, Cuomo said. We thought maybe they were taking public transportation. But actually, no, because these people were literally at home. Only 4% were taking public transportation. 2% were walking, the governor said. 84% were at home, literally. Were they working? No, they were retired or they were unemployed. Only 17% working. So that says they're not working, they're not traveling. It was this logic which led the governors of more than 40 states to implement the stay-at-home orders, barring so-called non-essential public travel and interaction. But Cuomo indicated that the findings would not sway New York State public health policy from going forward. Two-thirds of those hospitalized were people who had stayed at home. LifeNews.com reports investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden's Monday report for NBC Nightly News called out Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for forcing nursing homes in the state to take in coronavirus-positive patients just out of the hospital. On top of that, she pointed out how he had refused to give those facilities personal protective equipment. Backed up by a political headline pointing out that 5,000 had died, McFadden threw Cuomo under the bus, saying over the weekend, New York Governor Cuomo reversed his controversial policy, forcing nursing homes to take back COVID patients. The headline from Life News is this: Andrew Cuomo's order forcing nursing homes to accept coronavirus patients killed over 5,000 people. The Geller report from Pamela Geller stating in the U.S. 39% of all U.S. COVID-19 deaths, or 31,900, occurred in nursing homes. Cuomo also allowed homes for the developmentally disabled high risk to have staff who've been exposed to COVID. April 10th, he prohibited those homes from turning someone away from having COVID. Deaths, Pamela Geller reports, surging in those homes. Let's go to WND.com. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker stated that the current restrictions on businesses and citizens in effect through the day end of May could remain in effect with no end in sight. Phase 4 is just the phase before we'd have a vaccine. Assuming we may maybe never get a vaccine, we'll have to deal with hopefully a treatment that will come along that will be very effective. But even without that, everyone's going to have to wear a mask, said Pritzker. On Tuesday, he laid out his five-phase plan for reopening Illinois, including the alarming revelation that churches will be unable to seat more than 50 people at a time until the coronavirus is effectively abolished, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Phase 1, total lockdown. Phase 2, known infections have slowed it enough that some non-essential businesses can resume. Phase 3, to begin May 29th at the earliest, is predicted on further declines that would allow more businesses and services to reopen as could public gatherings such as religious services, albeit limited to just 10 people. Even more deadlines would trigger Phase 4, which would allow schools, daycares, restaurants, and bars to reopen, as well as allow a maximum of 50 people to gather. The remaining limits would not be lifted until Illinois sees a vaccine or highly effective treatment. Last month, a judge forced McHenry County, Illinois Health Department to hand over the names of COVID-19 patients to police. This week, a group of Chicago pastors declared that they will no longer abide by the 10-person congregation limit and are prepared to go to court to retain their rights. Matter of fact, Liberty Counsel reporting that two Romanian churches filed an appeal of their federal lawsuit against Governor Pritzker for his unconstitutional executive orders, discriminating against churches by restricting in-person worship services to no more than 10 people, while at the same time allowing commercial and non-religious entities to accommodate large crowds. Pritzker's executive orders do not allow worship services that include more than 10, while allowing so-called essential commercial non-religious entities like liquor stores and marijuana dispensaries, warehouse clubs, and big box stores to accommodate large crowds. But those restrictions are not for everybody. Here we have from the National Review, Pritzker warned that he will crack down on any business or local area that attempts to stray from his order before he allows it. Businesses and individual professionals that are licensed by state agencies can be held accountable for defying public health orders, he said. Counties that try to reopen in defiance will not be reimbursed by FEMA for damage they caused themselves. Local law enforcement and Illinois State Police can and will take action. Meanwhile, in Waukegan, Illinois, less than an hour north of the heart of Chicago, Planned Parenthood just opened a brand new abortion clinic, one of about 20 in the state. According to Illinois Right to Life, Planned Parenthood used shell company names on its license applications, so no one would be aware that an abortion clinic was opening in the area until it had been approved. Despite the strict shutdown in Illinois, Pritzker's stay-at-home order stipulated that reproductive health care services were essential and should remain open. Mary Kate Knorr, the executive director of Illinois Right to Life, said in a statement that Governor Pritzker reminds us every day in his press conferences that we are being confined to our homes so as to protect human life. Yet a brand new abortion clinic has been allowed to open. Churches, schools, and businesses are closed, but the nation's largest killer of the unborn is expanding. Unbelievable, folks. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to move from Chicago to Los Angeles to see some of the matters that are going on in the city of Los Angeles, because they are said to be staying locked down until August. And so we also have the California State University, a system there canceling in-person fall classes at 23 campuses. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We have a news roundup day today, and yes, I know it's a lot dealing with COVID-19, but folks, there is much happening as it relates to this issue, and to keep you abreast of what is happening, of course, many of you familiar with, as we reported earlier this week, about the Wisconsin Supreme Court that turned down the governor's orders. The governor who overstepped his constitutional authority here in the state of Wisconsin. And so Wisconsin has reopened in part, I should say, because there's a number of municipalities and counties that are putting in their own restrictions. But the statewide orders have been shut down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So back to Los Angeles, as they're looking at staying locked down till August 1st, Daily Wire reports. So California State University has canceled in-person fall classes at 23 campuses. Also, the Washington Examiner reporting that their mayor, Eric Garcetti, said that they have never been fully closed and never completely open until there's a cure for COVID-19. Stay-at-home restrictions would likely continue until the end of July. WND adds that Los Angeles won't completely reopen until there's a cure for the coronavirus, according to Mayor Eric Garcetti. And from townhall.com, the mayor announced during his press conference that everyone who leaves their place of residence required to wear a face covering. He said, as long as you're not doing a solitary activity or with your own household, put your mask on. Always now, that is a requirement. Everyone having masks on, it will help the city get more freedom and help open up other parts of the city and economy while preventing the spread of COVID-19. Maxine Waters, well, she's got the habit of blurting out of the truth. WesternJournal.com reporting, in short, she doesn't want independent businesses to get back on their feet, and she has nothing but scorn for fellow Americans protesting their state's decisions to keep them closed. In an interview, she urged governors like Governor Newsom of California to hold the line against citizens demanding the freedom to restart their businesses. She stated bluntly that governors need to ignore their constituents' protests to reopen economies. Now, isn't this interesting? Here at one time, she was telling protesters, you know, get in the face of the president, get in the face of his cabinet members. You know, when they go out to restaurants, get in their face, protest, let's change things. But now she's saying, governors, you need to ignore the protest to reopen economies. She said, you know, our governors are under great stress. The protests that have been organized, the protests trying to intimidate our governors to open up everything. I know the pressure is on. I know that you're trying to hold the line. I want you to hold the line. I don't want to see these establishments open back up, she said. So we're doing everything that we can to give support to our constituents, nail shops, beauty shops, barber shops, florist shops. These are people in touch with folks every day, and they're risking their lives, and we don't want them opened up, said Maxine Waters. WND.com, California becoming a vote-by-mail state as the Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom issued an executive order automatically shipping out ballots to everyone who can vote in November. Although the order noted that an in-person voting will still be allowed, it also said that every Californian who is eligible to vote in the November 3rd, 2020 general election shall receive a vote-by-mail ballot. Ventura County Health Director, according to SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, say we will hunt down those who test positive for COVID-19 and all their contacts and quarantine them. You'll realize that we find more contacts. Some of the people we find are going to have trouble being isolated, he continued. For instance, if they live in a home where there's only one bathroom and there are three or four people living there, we're not going to be able to keep the person in that home. Every person who we're isolating needs to have their own bathroom, and so we'll be moving people like this into other kinds of housing that we have available. Wonder what that might be. from LifeSiteNews.com. Let's go to the state of Washington. Governor Jay Inslee said that people who refuse to cooperate with contact tracers or refuse coronavirus testing won't be allowed to leave their homes, even to go to grocery stores or pharmacies, saying, quote, "We will have attached to the families a family support person who will check in with them to see what they need on a daily basis. If they can't get a friend to do their grocery shopping, we will help them get their groceries in some fashion." John Whitehead wrote a column by him in SonsOfLiberty.com saying, no one is safe, no one's immune, no one gets spared the anguish, fear, and heartache of living under the shadow of an authoritarian police state. That's the message being broadcast 24/7. As long as we, the people, he says, continue to allow the government to trample our rights in the so-called name of national security, things will get worse, not better. Now there's talk of mass testing for COVID-19 antibodies, screening checkpoints, contact tracing, immunity passports to allow those who recovered from the virus to move around more freely, and snitch tip lines for reporting rule breakers to the authorities. Daily Wire reporting, Senator Rand Paul sparred with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, over his suggestion that lockdowns should continue and that schools should be closed through the fall semester. Senator Paul noted that the mortality rates have varied by region and criticized the experts who are crafting policies based on faulty scientific models that have been largely disproven, some as recently as this week. He said, "And as much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end-all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make the decision." Fauci responded, "Senator Paul, thank you for your comments. I've never made myself out to be the end-all and only voice of this. I'm a scientist, physician, and public health official. I give advice according to the best scientific evidence." Newsmax.com reporting, President Trump preparing an executive order to require essential drugs to be made in the USA. The order will be for 90 days and reviewed. About 72% of pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturers supplying the U.S. are located overseas, including 13% in China. That's according to testimony by Janet Woodcock, director of the Food and Drug Administrative Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. 72% of our pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturers are located overseas, 13% in China. Let's go to the state of Michigan here, townhall.com. Carl Mankey, 77-year-old barber, runs a shop in Owosso, Michigan, has had both his barber and business license suspended for violating Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home order. His lawyer says his client is also facing a $1,000 fine and jail time of 1 year per haircut. Isn't this amazing, folks? Release, empty the jails because of coronavirus. And now he is facing a $1,000 fine and jail time of 1 year per haircut. A state licensing board concluded the 77-year-old's haircutting poses a threat to the public health. Breaking Christian News adds, he said, "I had gone 6 weeks without a paycheck, with no money coming in," Mankey explained. "I've always worked. I've never looked for handouts. I don't even know what they are. I had somebody call me and say, why don't you get on food stamps? He said, well, I don't want food stamps. I want to work. I've gone through 14 different administrations, and I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen this type of oppression by a government ever," said Mankey. Going to the newamerican.com, American thinkers Jack Hellner on Wednesday in a piece presenting the following startling facts. 52% of counties in the United States, 1,603 counties, 52%, in total have zero deaths from coronavirus. 52% of the counties in the U.S. have had zero deaths. Another 447 counties, that's 14% of the U.S., total have one death. And another 14% of U.S. counties have 2 to 5 deaths. That is, 50, 60, 70, 80% of counties with 5 or fewer deaths from the Wuhan coronavirus. or just 3.2% of the total. Yes, they've locked down just like the 20% of counties that have 96.8% of the total. This is about as rational as insisting that rural counties have the same number of traffic lights per square mile as New York City, says the writer. Despite this, supposed experts and some Democratic governors are saying, keep the economy in depression until we have a vaccine, which may never come, writes Jack Hellner. Interesting indeed. 52% of counties in the U.S., zero deaths, 14% one death, 14% two to five deaths, and this 80% of counties under same lockdown orders as everybody else. Does it make sense to you? Daily Wire reporting that the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts who traditionally placed American flags on the graves of veterans at veterans' cemeteries on Memorial Day, they have been barred from doing so because of the crisis. The Scouts cannot perform this act of honor because the Department of Veterans Affairs has banned public events at the sites. On Long Island, New York, where there are more than 500,000 veterans buried at two national military cemeteries, there are demands for the VA to reconsider and rescind the ban. Suffolk County Executive Steve Bellone told Fox News, quote, if we can't figure out a way to make sure we're placing flags at their graves to honor them, then something is seriously wrong. WND.com, California Church United, representing roughly 3,000 churches and 2.5 million congregants statewide, announced that it will return to conducting in-person services by Pentecost, May 31st, rather than await the third phase of planned societal reopening. My church made 10,000 masks and gowns for doctors while practicing social distancing, one pastor said. The son of San Bernardino County was mentioning or reported. We feed people and procure electronic devices for seniors who are isolated. And the governor has no problem with all of that, but when we want to gather to worship, he's got a problem. By the way, as we reported just yesterday about this massive $3 trillion bill that is up for a vote in the House of Representatives, CNSNews.com points out the debt of the federal government topped $25 trillion for the first time on Tuesday. The federal debt topped $24 trillion for the first time on April 7th, and it increased by more than $1 trillion in just 28 days. That's the fastest the federal debt has ever climbed from $1 trillion threshold to the next. Prior to this, the fastest jump for a $1 trillion threshold was 159 days. We have now done it here in just a staggering 28 days. WND.com reporting the Democratic Party in the House pushing once again for coronavirus relief cash payments for illegal aliens. They also want high schoolers age 16 and over to qualify for $2,000 a month handouts. WND.com also reporting 15 days after Republican Governor Brian Kemp loosened lockdown restrictions amid criticism from media and from President Trump, Georgia recorded the fewest number of hospitalized coronavirus patients and the fewest ventilators in use. FoxNews.com, American universities, pharmaceutical, and other healthcare firms being targeted by Chinese and Iranian hackers in the midst of coronavirus cases. The aggressiveness of the cyber attacks is such that some U.S. officials view them as tantamount to war, according to the Wall Street Journal. Let's go to LifeSciteNews.com. Canada's largest federal research and development organization announced it will be teaming up with a Chinese vaccine company with the hopes of testing a new trial coronavirus vaccine in Canada, which one watchdog is warning is made from aborted fetal cell lines. We're going to take a quick break. I've got a few more stories I'd like to share with you before we open some phone lines, and then we'll give you opportunity to weigh in on these or other current event issues. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists, who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
We got a news roundup day here today. Just want to cover a few more issues with you here today. We were talking about, you know, the threat of a year in jail for each haircut for this barber in the 70s. This story here from Washington Examiner, also very interesting. Dozens of inmates released from Rikers Island Jail Complex in New York because of coronavirus concerns have reoffended. Roughly 110 inmates. Now, this is one jail, one institution. Roughly 110 inmates have been involved in 190 arrests in New York after being released as part of an effort to stem the spread of the coronavirus, according to the New York Post. A quarter of those arrests were for burglaries, committing 43% increase in break-in crimes over the last month, per NYPD data. Police sources say the number of inmates who have reoffended is likely higher, since the data only accounts for the 1,500 inmates released in March, and hundreds have been released since. American Magazine reporting, Pope Francis called for yesterday the peoples of all religions to unite together spiritually for a day of prayer and fasting to implore God to help humanity overcome the coronavirus, encouraged international cooperation in response to this. He repeatedly, in his address, called for an interreligious day of prayer, saying, "Remember May 14th, all believers together, believers of the different religious traditions, to pray, to fast, and to do works of charity." WND.com, the Senate rejected an amendment to the FISA Act that would have prevented the government from accessing Americans' web browsing data without a warrant on Wednesday. The amendment had already passed in the House with bipartisan support, but it needed 60 senators to approve it in order for it to pass the Senate. Only 59 senators voted in favor of the amendment. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, Republican Senator Steve Daines of Montana had proposed the amendment. Daines tweeted that the government should not have access to Americans' extremely personal browser data and internet search history without a warrant. We need to get the government out of our phones and out of our lives, but it fell short by one vote. National Review reporting, attorneys representing three female high school track athletes, that's their words, in their effort to buy biological males from competing against them, filed a motion calling for the presiding judge to recuse himself after he forbid the attorneys from referring to the transgender athletes at issue as being males. The suit challenges their policy allowing students to compete in the division that accords with their gender identity and the grounds that it disadvantages women in violation of the Title IX prohibition against discrimination on the basis of sex. But during an April 16th conference call, District Judge Robert Chattigny chastised the Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys for referring to the male athletes seeking to compete in the women's division as males. The judge said, "What I'm saying is you must refer to them as transgender females rather than as males. Again, that's the more accurate terminology," the judge said, "and I think that it fully protects your client's legitimate interests. Referring to these individuals as transgender females is consistent with science." Is it really, Judge? "It's consistent with common practice and perhaps human decency. To refer to them as males, period, is not accurate. Certainly not as accurate as I think it needlessly provocative. I don't think that you can surrender any legitimate interest or position if you refer to them as transgender females. That is what the case is about. This isn't a case involving males who've decided that they want to run in girls' events. This is a case about girls who say that transgender girls should not be allowed to run in girls' events. So going forward, we will not refer to the proposed interveners as males. Understood?" Well, Roger Brooks, the lead attorney for ADF, responded by pointing out that the biology of transgender athletes seeking to compete in women's division is relevant to the case, and as such, his duty to provide a vigorous defense of his client's interests required him to use the term male. The attorney also informed the judge that he was not sure that he could comply with the prohibition against the use of male and asked if he would be permitted to simply use transgender rather than transgender females when referring to the athletes, a request which the judge granted. But the judge stipulated that he didn't want to bully the ADF attorneys, but nevertheless felt that he had to draw a hard line with respect to the terminology used out of concern for human decency. So we have three biological female athletes who file lawsuit against biological males who are identifying as females, and the judge is telling the attorney representing the three biological females that you must refer to the others as transgender females, not as biological males. By the way, we understand the same judge was one that Barack Obama tried to move up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, something that the Washington Times editorial board there called an abomination. This judge has a record of empathy for those accused of sexual crimes, including children. Lots of other things that are going on here today. Oh, Price is Right donates $100,000 to Planned Parenthood abortion business. One of the America's favorite game shows, The Price is Right, this is LifeNews.com, donated nearly $100,000 to the abortion chain Planned Parenthood on Monday night. The CBS special, The Price is Right at Night, featured celebrity guest drag queen RuPaul playing for donations to the billion-dollar abortion group. According to the report, the show matched the contestants' winnings with a donation to RuPaul's charity of choice, and on the show, RuPaul said that the choice was Planned Parenthood because it provides vital and often free services to both men and women. Let me open the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829 for our news roundup day today. We have from DailyWire.com, former Vice President Joe Biden said that if he were elected president, he would start sending financial aid to the Palestinian Arabs, reversing the Trump administration's policy of revoking the aid because it had been used to finance terrorism. Biden stated, "A priority now for the cause of Israeli-Palestinian peace should be resuming our dialogue with the Palestinians." Also, from CNSNews.com, Biden appeared on MSNBC's The Last Word with Lawrence O'Dowell on Thursday night, was asked by a viewer, how do you plan to change the immigration laws to accommodate specialized immigrants toward a fast-track immigration process? The vice president said, quote, "By the way, number one, on day one, I'm sending, no matter what the state of this is, to the United States Congress, a bill to provide for a path to citizenship for 11 million undocumented people, number one, in the United States." Folks, that's his number one priority. Number two, every DACA student would be able to stay. Priority of Joe Biden. And one other story here. After this is LifeNews.com. After remaining relatively quiet this election cycle, the liberal billionaire globalist George Soros broke his silence in an interview to discuss the pandemic and attack President Trump in the process. "The current U.S. president does not really represent the values of an open and free society," Soros stated. "I have put my faith in Trump to destroy himself, and he has exceeded my wildest expectations." Soros' super PAC, Democracy PAC, has been involved in funding radical left-wing groups. The groups have been exploiting the coronavirus in TV, ad blitzes, and appear to have aligned with Soros in an attempt to destroy President Trump to undermine his efforts. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, our number 800-733-9829. Fred is calling from Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, there's a concern for this fall-winter on the coronavirus, and what they should do is check the results in the Southern Hemisphere in South America with those nations, because they're going into fall-winter where we're coming into spring-summer, and then they could get the fall-winter results to some degree to see if it springs up again or not.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Fred. Julie in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Hi, Thank you. I just want to make a comment about my beliefs about this coronavirus. I really do think that this was not as serious as what the media had portrayed it out to be, and just really put a lot of fear into the, you know, into the American people, to where, you know, they're behaving. It's just not the right way to deal with this pandemic. I don't think it was as serious enough to close this nation down. People are losing their jobs just because the media portrayed it out to be as really, really bad, when it might not even have been bad. And if that's the case, you know, I don't know how many believers or how many people following this comment would believe like I do, but I think we should start reopening this nation up and start shopping at places that are open, just to start building up the businesses and start promoting this growth back where President Trump, you know, can get this country rolling again, and where the media can not talk about it anymore.
Okay, thank you, Julie, for your thoughts. And folks, I've seen the story has been increasing as to the concerns for a coming famine in nations around the world due to the stop productivity that has been put into place here this spring. Andrew is calling next from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. When you were giving the news earlier, that you were talking about, you know, a lot of folks talking about this coronavirus paving the way for more government control. And everywhere we see on the TV, we see home together, safe together, wear your mask, over and over and over again. And, you know, if anyone out there knows the principle about the big lie, that the idea is to keep saying it long enough so that not only is it believed, and somebody mentioned Dr. Fauci, that Ron Paul mentioned, Rand Paul mentioning that he had even been disproved, that they will even keep up those lies, even at the risk of looking ridiculous. And that is a quote from Dr. Joseph Goebbels from the Nazi Germany era, and what he had to say about the big lie and how it's perpetuated. And this media, where it's promoting stay at home, stay at home, stay at home, it's repetitious, it's bombarding, and at some point, it is like that other, if it keeps up, people eventually become to believe it, and they play right into the hands of those who would promote it.
Thank you, Andrew, for your thoughts here today on Crosstalk. We're going next to Leonard in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I've no doubt the days we're in, we definitely need to look up for redemption draw off nigh. I had a question, though, and I'm sure you've heard about it, I guess. Is there any truth about this with the vaccine? They're wanting to put steel bracelets on people with chips. I don't know if you heard about that or not. Is there any truth to that or not? I've seen some videos of it, and I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Yeah, well, there are many different things that are out there on the net, but we did cover earlier with Alex Newman the various the patent that's been received here by Microsoft, Bill Gates, that's dealing with the aspect of well, this is dealing more with monetary issues, but there's also been talking about vaccine identification, like with a tattoo that would indicate what vaccinations one has had. That's not a chip as such, it's more of a tattoo. But the program with Alex Newman, for those stations that carry Best of the Week for Crosstalk, that will be re-airing tomorrow at 12 noon here on VC One America.
Okay.
Thank you, Leonard. Appreciate your call. Wow. Okay, we're just seconds from the break, so rather than interrupt our next caller here, we're going to take the break coming up and take more of your calls here in our final segment. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, Iran accidentally shooting down its own battleship, 40 reported killed earlier this week. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Thank you. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com, where the video is going viral, and it's a Special Forces veteran and now police officer out of the Seattle, Washington area. He's warning his fellow law enforcement friends they need to honor the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. He did a video and has been seen by tens of thousands, and, well, now he's on administrative leave and likely to be fired. They were seeking on a GoFundMe page to raise $50,000 for him. Last time I checked, they'd raised $240,000 already. The American people are funding people that are standing up for truth and liberty, whether it's a hairdresser out of Texas or this police officer out of Washington State. The American people are voting by financially supporting their GoFundMe pages. Because why? They appreciate their stand for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the rule of law against would-be tyrants. The American people are watching. And the elected officials need to start becoming afraid of the American people and their right to defend their liberties.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day today. Going back to the phone lines, taking your comments on these issues. Let's go to Angie in Pleasanton, Kansas. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know I got your book, Mark Sanity, and it's very, very wonderful.
Oh, that would actually be Brandon House's book.
Oh, that is Brandon's. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, but also what I wanted to say about this contact tracing and the going door to door and all this stuff, especially in California, New York, Connecticut, and all these places. I have a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to gather all this information now, and then as closer as when November comes and November 3rd comes, magically people are going to be coming in contact with people that they don't even know that are supposedly on a list somewhere, and then they're going to take all the conservatives and quarantine them, and then we're not going to be able to vote. But then they're going to say, oh, well, you have your mail-in ballots. Well, you have your mail-in ballots, then you mail it in, but they have your address. So they can give the post office this. If you get any mail from your address or any of these addresses on the quarantine list, it came out of a quarantined home. So those don't need to be counted. They need to be put over here into a bin. And we're not going to count those because they came out of a quarantined home. And that essentially keeps everybody from voting who needs to vote.
Interesting thought. Thank you, Angie, for sharing. Scott, Jackson, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just want to make a comment. You know, with everything going on here with this news media, this coronavirus, I have a handicapped 37-year-old daughter who lives in Arizona. They scared her so bad that she mixed bleach and almost killed herself. Over 50% of her lung is gone. She has to sleep with oxygen, and they said probably in another 10 years she'll be on oxygen permanently. Who? These people have to stop this foolishness. Jim, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Brian is next. You're on the air, Brian.
Hi, Jim. Hey, I just want to make a comment about the number of people living in a household and that, you know, someone would have to be removed just to go by these guidelines. It's totally ridiculous. But, Jim, I'd also like to offer a word of praise. I don't know if you remember me. I called in about not being able to have knee surgery on due to this COVID.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, COVID-19.
Right.
Surgery scheduled for 28th of July, and I want to thank all the viewers for their prayers because it really meant a lot to me. And I praise God and your program for that.
Oh, great. So that couple months out, but you've got a date scheduled.
Yep, yep. And I just want to thank the people out there who have been praying for me. It really means a lot.
Great.
So you have a great weekend.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Chicago, Illinois. Drayton, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Appreciate your program. I was just wondering if you could give me the your source of information for those county statistics for the COVID deaths?
Sure. The article I quoted from is from the newamerican.com. The
newamerican.com.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the headline is Media Lies About COVID-19 Are Perpetrating Lockdowns and Destroying Our Nation.
Excellent. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you.
Bye-bye now. Jackie in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I think it needs to be a call to Christians. The church needs to wake up and voice they we need to impeach Governor Evers And we also need Christians to show up or shut up. Men and women of God got to step out of the shadows of this lie of a pandemic. This is only the way of controlling Christians. The bar across the street for me to open up, everybody are going on with their lives except for Christians. This church must stand up, not violence, but stand up and be counted for Christ. So that's
you,
what
Jackie.
I have to say.
Thank you for your call here today. And to our previous caller, the New American that I quoted, and they are looking at a column here from American Thinker, Jack Hellner, that released a piece with those statistics. So again, that the articles that I quoted from was from New American. They are quoting from the American Thinker. Let's go to Aztec, New Mexico. We have Matt calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I'm listening to your show while I'm trying to escape the Socialist Republic of New Mexico and moved back to Texas. Hey, one thing that nobody's pointed out, but I heard it the other day on the radio, is that all of the Republican conservative supporting organizations have been shut down because of this corona thing, but yet all of the liberal democratic supporting organizations like your unions and these other organizations that support the Democrats and the liberals, they've been open the entire time. So what do you have here? You've got a whole slanted ball game to where the conservative folks, they're not even going to be able to support Trump and his agenda in the next election.
And Matt, what is the source of that information? Because I have not seen that information. What is the source to collaborate that?
Let's see. I believe it was off a Rush Limbaugh show. One of the callers in pointed it out that if you look at the actual statistics of what's closed versus what's open, you see a real distinct line between a liberal organization and conservative organizations, and the conservative ones are actually the ones that have really been targeted and been shut down. I know New Mexico's taken a major hit with conservative businesses being shut down, and yet liberal-type organizations, the ones that are big supporters to even the Clinton Foundation, they've all been up and running, and everybody else is down.
Thank you.
So it's another angle on what's going on.
Thank you, Matt.
I appreciate your show. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Let's go to Bill in Black River Falls. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday I called Planned Parenthood and ended up talking to them in Madison, and they had no problem at all scheduling an abortion. And I just thought of Mr. Evers. He's so concerned about life, but not too worried about shutting them down.
Yeah.
As a farmer, I'd like to say our prices all went south from, we hear about supply management, and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie, they were in favor of supply management, which we all are, but maybe if we hadn't slaughtered off all them little newborns, maybe we wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
I'd like
Thank
to
you,
wish
Bill.
Everybody a good day.
Thank you, Bill. Ellie in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. The verse of scripture that comes to mind is, evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that, I feel, is what is happening in our world right now.
Indeed. Thank you, LA, for your call here today. And we're warned about those perilous times in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, that music says my time is gone here on Crosstalk. We apologize to those yet waiting to speak, but we've run out of time. But friends, again, the things we share, not to frighten or fear, but to cause us to turn to the Lord in times just like these. Certainly that we have that admonition to be salt and to be light, to share the good news of the gospel. Thanks for stopping by today to listen, and all this week here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.